Random House Audio presents The Third Secret by Steve Berry. Read for you by L.J. Ganser. A breeze drifted across the checkered landscape of the great hollow basin known as Cova da Iria. The land was littered with olive trees and patches of evergreens. The grass grew tall and made excellent hay, and the soil yielded potatoes, cabbage, and corn. And now her eyes were on the lady floating before her. Only Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco could see the lady. Lucia stared hard at the lady. The form was transparent, in varied hues of yellow, white, and blue. The face was beautiful, but strangely shaded in sorrow. A dress fell to her ankles. A veil covered her head. A rosary resembling pearls intertwined folded hands. Fatima, Portugal, July 13th, 1917.
There's a new book out about these events like Fatima. It is written by our guest Kevin Cook, a man who graduated from a seminary, a Protestant seminary, but later he converted to Catholicism. Kevin has been infatuated with these events and has written a very interesting book on the subject. Marian apparitions are real. In the book, he takes a look at a series of divine events in which he alleges that Mary and Jesus Christ have been visiting mankind since biblical times. He has some very interesting photos in this book of some of these events, as well as lots of documentation. Kevin is on the line with us from his home in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Welcome to the show, Kevin, and why don't you tell our audience right off the bat how you got interested in this, the study of the apparitions.
Yes, Jerry, what happened the fall of 2008, I took a trip to upstate New York. I have a little upstate New York fascination. And, you know, I looked at some property, did the Cooperstown Museum visit, but the day before I left, I was going to be a tourist, and I stopped in a town east of Albany called Auriesville, and I was going to be a tourist that day through the Mohawk Valley, and I ran across Our Lady of Martyrs Shrine up there in Auriesville, and I didn't even know it existed. And, you know, I'm a Catholic, so I went and visited to see what was going on there, and the strangest thing happened. I was there about an hour and a half, and for the first 45 minutes, there was an overpowering, gripping smell of roses and flowers. And understand, Jerry, this is the middle of a big old field. It's about 100 acres, and it's you know, it's right up in the about a third of a mile up. It's kind of like a mesa, kind of out west. And there's air blowing, I mean, and there's no services going on that would have, you know, like incense floating through the air or anything of that nature. And at any rate, this was a very powerful thing. And Jerry, I've got bad allergies in Texas, and I guess they're a little better in New York, but still, I'm not a bloodhound. And this was a pungent, overpowering thing.
So, Kevin, had you heard about this before? I mean, this scent thing?
Well, that's L-A-U-S, actually. But I was familiar with Catholicism, but not so much this odor of sanctity issue. Of course, it caused me to research it pretty thoroughly. But and, you know, I do have a master's in theology from a Protestant seminary, and you know, I converted to Catholicism a couple years before this trip up there. So I had some familiarity, but not with this issue. No, not at all. This hit me from the blind side.
Now, did this incident cause you to write the book?
Well, it caused me to think about writing the book, yes. And I did have some other pleasant and similar related experiences upon my conversion to Catholicism, and I had always been interested, I have to admit, I'd always been interested in Marian apparitions, but this was kind of like somebody grabbed you by the shoulder and shook you that all this stuff is real. And I also knew a fella from the Texas area, you may know of him, named Paul Smith. He's a remote viewer.
No, I don't think so.
Paul and I talked, and he had, his mentor was Ingo Swan.
I know him.
Well, now Swan actually wrote a book on Marian apparitions in the 90s, and I didn't think there was a current one that really, you know, I really liked that much, and I thought it was time to have another around stressing this, and I did write it. And also, I want to, like I say, I want to also stress this odor of sanctity issue, because it's actually very widespread among Catholics, not just in saints, but, for example, the lady that's handling my annulment is had an experience with her family where she and her family were praying around a sick loved one, and the whole load of them in the hospital room experienced the odor of sanctity at that time. I mean, quite a moving thing.
Why would this odor of sanctity only impact Catholics?
Well, now, it hasn't only. I knew an Anglican priest that experienced it.
Okay.
Also, of course, you know, I could be xenophobic and say, well, it's the right, Catholicism is the right way to go, and I am somewhat of a Catholic evangelist, but still, you know, I'm not so narrow as to say that other branches of Christianity don't have merit either. I'm not saying that. But I think there's a level of devotion, truly, that is quite remarkable in the Catholic Church. And I think it just, some things I just can't answer, but it does seem to be pretty prevalent.
Well, now, Kevin, in your book, you cover lots of, let's say, divine events. Let's talk about some of them.
It was just an issue that was pleasant and surrounded and kind of
right.
boosted me to write the book. Marian apparitions have been going on for 2,000 years. I didn't realize that until I dug into it, the extent of how the duration was and how many of them actually were. The earliest recorded Marian apparition actually occurred in 40 A.D. In Sargasso, Spain.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that that incident?
The Virgin appeared to St. James as he was trying to evangelize the local Spaniards at the time, and he was kind of downtrodden because he wasn't as big rebuffed, I guess, in his efforts. And she basically, it was a lift to his spirits to see her. And she was living at the time, by the way. And that was the first recorded one. It was called Our Lady at the Pillar. Jerry, frequently these experiences, they have a term for it, like, you know, Our Lady of the Pillar, Mediatrix of All Graces. Different titles are usually associated with these apparitions. But that was the earliest. But
as you said, Mary was alive at that time.
She was. She
but
was.
Not there.
Not there, that's correct. That Padre Pio I'd mentioned, that saint that died in 1968, he also did what was called bilocation. Other saints have as well. But
you mean she was two places at the same time?
Correct. And that's actually very, very well documented because, of course, he's lived in relatively recent times. And so, I mean, like I say, once I got into it, Jerry, I find a whole cafeteria of basically paranormal yet pleasantly mystical and divine events connected with it. There's a whole field of study connected with this. Of course, the apparitions are the primary one, but I mean relative to it are the lives of the saints and things that are actually quite proven. But
give us an example of what you're talking about there, Kevin.
Well, like the Padre Pio issue, where the bilocation, he had the stigmata in his hands. He could understand people. It's called transverbation, where he actually could understand people. That he was an Italian and spoke only Italian, but he could communicate with people to understand when they were visiting him to take confessions from him, or for him to give confessions to him, rather. And they would speak in foreign languages, and he could understand them. In other words, phenomena that was really quite beyond the norm.
Perhaps it was as simple as mental telepathy.
Perhaps so. He could also recognize spirits in people, whether they were afflicted with certain problems. Quite a bit of paranormal ability that was way, way beyond the norm. And like I say, that once you opened up the chest in all this, there was a whole very interesting and very well-documented field of study, in addition to the apparitions.
Besides this smelling incident up in New York State, have you seen apparitions? Have you experienced them?
No, sir, I haven't. I've experienced some very remarkable things, but not the apparitions.
Uh-huh.
I've interviewed people that have been to Medjugorje and what have you, but not. No, I have not actually.
Maybe you can go into a little more detail about that for us. I'm very curious.
Well, normally, throughout history, the Virgin Mary usually appears to young children. as a norm. Not always, because, for example, in Zaitun in Egypt, she appeared in recent years, 68 through 70, and again in the last fall, we're talking millions of people were witnesses to this event. Millions.
Tell me more about what happened in Egypt, the circumstances.
The Virgin Mary appeared not actually over a Catholic church, but over an Egyptian Coptic church. It's a very old line Christian denomination in Egypt. And it was St. Mark's Church in, basically a suburb of Cairo. It's called Zaitun, Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry, this was phenomenal. What happened is she started appearing over this church, kind of in a, you could see an outline of her, and you could also see an outline of doves.
So this apparition in Egypt occurred at a certain time?
It usually occurred in the evening.
Okay.
And it was like every evening for like...
Well, I guess that's fairly common, that they show up at a certain time, an appointed time.
It is. There have been...
Well, I was thinking basically of Fatima.
Well, now, Fatima, there were like, as I recall, there were seven different issues. But where the last one culminating in the Dance of the Sun, and also where there was about 70 to 100,000 witnesses. But the Zaitun experience from 68 to 70 actually far eclipsed that, because in this square right around St. Mark's Church in Cairo, Jerry, they had as many as 250,000 people at one time.
Kevin, to get that kind of crowd, I guess they had a little promotion. I mean, people knew about it.
Oh, yes, it kind of built in... kind of in anticipation, and the word got around, basically. And it was, okay, now understand that the setting at the time was, this was 1968, Nasser was basically the dictator of Egypt, and he was a Muslim, of course, and, well, he was really more of a, kind of a lukewarm Muslim, basically leaned towards atheism, but still the country was a Muslim
yes.
country. And they were basically antagonistic to visions of the Virgin Mary, even though actually Muslims actually revere the Virgin Mary. Most people don't know that. But they don't, not to the extent that Catholics would, but they still revere her as being an important personage. But what I'm saying is, anything that would endorse Christianity, of course, the general ruling clique in Egypt would be antagonistic towards. And what I'm saying is, what they did was they sent Egyptian special forces on a house-by-house search a mile square around that St. Mark's Church to try to see if this was some kind of chicanery or projection of some hologram.
Hologram or something.
Right. Of course, this was 68 and it was Cairo. There weren't any holograms. There probably aren't any now. But still, they made every effort to try to debunk it, and they couldn't do it. And as a matter of fact, Jerry, after extensive efforts to investigate it, even Nasser, who was the president of Egypt, and like I say, basically antagonistic to this sort of thing, that endorsed the authenticity of this apparition, which is really quite striking.
This is the Virgin Mary that would appear.
Yes.
How do we know that?
Well, by outline, the assumption is, in this case, it was a silent apparition. In this case, the outline was one that would be normally associated with the Virgin Mary by appearance. That's why.
So she was dressed in a robe,
right,
or something?
Right, that's right. Now, normally, see, now, Jerry, not all these, that was a silent apparition in this case, but most of them, or at least the bulk of them, from what I've been able to understand, are talking apparitions, where the seer, who's basically the witness, they call them seers, will actually communicate with the Virgin Mary.
There was no communication from the one in Egypt.
No, this was a silent one, but like I say, it went on for like 2 years. No, but there's a pivotal.
These apparitions. How do you explain it as a devoted Catholic, Kevin? I mean, what does it mean? Why would they appear? What is the message?
Well, I think the reason is Mary is acting as a messenger for God, basically. Just like there's been angels that have appeared in past years. By the way, Jesus also shows up in a lot of these apparitions too.
Really?
Yes, it's not just isolated Mary. I'd say in about a third of them, a quarter to a third of them, he shows up.
So has Jesus showed up recently?
Yes, in Cabejo, Our Lady of Cabejo, which occurred in Rwanda, he did show up in the 90s.
Did Jesus talk?
Yes, he did. He appeared to a young child there, and basically the gist of the information was he was trying to ask the people to not be promiscuous because there's such an AIDS epidemic. Of course, he didn't indicate that in his message, but the effort to avoid promiscuity is very important at that time because, well, Africa's just overrun with AIDS, among other, of course, moral reasons. There's also some very physical reasons they need to be...
Now, you're saying there was an AIDS epidemic going on?
It still is. But that was the message at that time, but that was also a very well-authenticated message as far as witnesses and aerial phenomena like in Fatima. They had a dance of the sun circumstance like that occurred in Fatima. And see, Jerry, one thing that's strikingly important that adds a lot of credibility to this is not just are the witnesses credible witnesses, but and by the way, there's physical evidence, which I'll tell you about later, but there's a pivotal timing. You ask why she would do this, and I indicated she was a messenger of God, but Jerry, on almost every one of these, except for the ones that are private revelation to individuals alone, the public apparitions are just, they're come at pivotal times in history.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, like, there was the apparition at La Salette in France. There's been so many different apparitions in France. Was frequently to assure the population that, for example, she assured the population, the La Salette apparition, that the Germans wouldn't invade and destroy their country. She appeared and told them, you know, they prayed to the Virgin Mary that, in that little La Salette area to, you know, preserve France and their, you know, children that were in the army from the Germans. And that was a special effort that the bishop and the local Catholic group were making at that time. And she appeared to them, I guess, in answer to their prayers and said that that's okay, don't worry about it. There's going to be an end to this conflict. This is the 1870s. And there's going to be an end to this conflict. And Laval, the town nearby that they were referring to, would not be invaded. And the Germans, without real explanation, except they knew there was a Marian apparition, turned tail and called it quits on the invasion. That's just one example.
Have there been some recent events? I mean, like in the last decade or something?
Oh, yes. Yes, there is. There is one going on right now. Well, there's two different areas going on right now. Medjugorje has been an ongoing apparitional site for 30 years.
Now, how often does it happen there?
As I understand, it's about a weekly occurrence at this point. However, now that understand, I'm not ready to completely get behind the Medjugorje experience. I'm not negating it either. And some, like Cardinal Schoenberg, a very important cardinal, has actually basically endorsed the authenticity of Medjugorje. And some other important cardinals as well. The Vatican has a commission they've established under Cardinal Ruini that's going to, you know, finally come to grips with, you know, the validity of Medjugorje, pro or con, and that's in progress now. There's been some, in that book of mine, I have a photograph, it's quite an excellent photograph, it was given to me by a member of my church here in Keller, Texas, and this lady had made a pilgrimage to Medjugorje, and her companion had taken a photo of the hill where these apparitional episodes occurred, and Jerry, superimposed in that photo is an outline of the Virgin Mary. I kid you not.
And that picture's in your book. Kevin, it'd be a good time to plug the book again. Tell the audience the name of it and how to get it.
Okay, the book is Marian Apparitions Are Real, Marian Apparitions Are Real. That's the title, and it's available at my website, which is www.marianapparitionsareal.com or at amazon.com.
Let's get back to that weekly apparition. When does it happen? Every Sunday?
It's, as I understand, it's a weekly event.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's another one that's going on in Brazil, and this is it's all over the news in that area. A fellow named Pedro Regis has been having apparitions of the Virgin Mary, and Jerry, he's come up with absolutely startling prophecies and predictions in recent times. And what he does is he'll post these, the messages from the Virgin Mary on his website, you know, well, keeps it kind of current is what the latest messages are. And Jerry, there's been prophecies of the Gulf oil disaster, of the Haitian earthquake, in very clear terms. Now, these are some momentous prophecies. He prophesies the...
Evan, why do you think these things happen at certain locations? I mean, and not at others? Like, why not the...
Show up the White House or something.
Yeah, the White House. Or maybe a reality TV show.
You're saying, and why pick frequently children?
Well, I'm asking not necessarily to debunk. I'm just curious. Is there an answer?
I know, and Jerry, I wish I could provide a better one. The only one I've really come up with is that frequently she would use children because children are basically guileless, and some of the things she's relayed to children as far as prophecy and things of that nature have been absolutely dead bang. And, like, for example, in the Fatima example that most people know of, the three young children, they didn't know anything. And when they relayed messages from her that, you know, Russia would have errors and, a coming Second World War and things, I mean, there was no way these children were just, you know, rural country kids. They had no education to know about, hardly knew where Russia would be, let alone, the dangers of communism or errors and things of that nature. So what I'm saying is that maybe I think she picked children because they're innocent and they accepted things for what they are, whereas, oh, perhaps some old grizzled fella might just say, oh, I don't know what kind of game you're playing, but,
I understand. You know, in today's world, everybody has a cell phone, and many of them can take pictures. Anybody ever take a cell phone picture?
I don't know about the cell cameras, but I know there's been lots of pictures like the one that's in the front of the book.
Yeah.
And like I say, the TVs took pictures of the Virgin Mary over the Zaytun Church, and that was on Arab television. Now, like I say, 2-3 million people saw it. So in other words, this evidence is fairly widespread. Really.
Does this happen only in countries that are predominantly Catholic?
Well, yes and no. Like Rwanda would not necessarily fit in the category of being predominantly Catholic. France, definitely, at the time when it occurred, definitely. And Brazil, of course.
Yeah, I mean, South America is predominantly Catholic.
And let's see, of course, there's been some in Italy. It certainly fits the bill.
And, of course, Egypt isn't.
It's not. No, the Coptic population is probably 14 or 15%. But I think a lot of it is, the pivotal timing. Like, France used to be quite the little country, running the world affairs. I mean, it was very pivotal in the First and Second World War. And, there were messages predicting the coming World War in the 30s. There were a couple... apparitions that were approved by the Vatican itself in Banau and Borang, Belgium, that predicted the coming World War II. And this was done in the early 30s. And you got to remember, Hitler was made Time Magazine Man of the Year in 35, so people didn't look at him as a villain until later. And so in other words, what I'm saying, these were given to basically, in this case, not children, but just basically loner kind of people that were pure at heart, simple, nice
Besides
people.
Besides that thing you ran across up in New York State, any apparitions here in America?
There's been some, but, Jerry, they're under investigation. In the back of the book, give you an idea of the number of these things. In the back of the book, I have an appendix from the International Marian Research Institute. It just goes from 1900 to approximately the year 2000, a little over 100 years. And it details a couple hundred different apparitions and their status as far as being approved or not approved. And I could tell you about that in a minute. But what I'm saying is there's been hundreds and hundreds of these. Now, the one at Bayside, New York, has not been found to be credible. There's been actually, Jerry, some ones upon investigation that were demonically backgrounded. Or from demonic sources, I should say.
And how do you know the difference? I mean, the demonic from the angelic.
The church has investigated them, and there's several different tests. For example, when they, this is very important in the whole field of the study, is usually what will happen is, of course, the kids will, or the seers, adult or children, whichever is the case, will approach a priest, and that priest will approach the bishop with these matters, and the bishop will usually appoint an ecclesiastical commission to investigate it, you know, doctors, psychiatrists, and any other kind of investigator who would, you know, be able to shed light on the credibility of the witnesses, whether they're, you know, mentally stable, you know, habitual liars, and any physical evidence, all these, and observers, just everything that would go in like a court case. And that's the way they start out. And of all these apparitions, Jerry, of all of them, there's only been 11 that the Catholic Church itself has actually approved. I mean, in total, that is.
So, Kevin, does the commission have the final word, or does it go on up to the Vatican, all the way to the Pope? I mean, how does this work?
Well, they've changed the, for the most part, they've stopped having Vatican approval for the apparition itself. It's more of a, Jerry, it's kind of a more of a loosey-goosey arrangement. I mean, to be trivialize it, but for example, in Borang and Banau in the 30s, the Vatican itself actually approved both those. The way it has normally been handled since then is the bishop, the local bishop, will approve it or disapprove it. Like in the Philippines, Our Lady of Lipa that occurred, what had happened in the 90s, like 1990 was the last episode that I know of, the, of apparitional events there, but the local bishop made a determination that there was validity to it. In Batania, in Batania, which occurred in Venezuela in the 80s, the local bishop made it a determination that there was validity. And like I said, that's been the mode. However, there's kind of a de facto approval. For example, Pope John Paul II visited Knock, Ireland, and that was kind of an indirect manner of approval. Without, you know, officially slapping a gavel on it, he would say, you know, but his visit basically gave credibility to the event.
We have another half hour coming up with Kevin Cook on this fascinating subject. I'm Jerry Pippin.